Welcome to Threshold Church. Today's message is from Pastor Jake Kale.
Amen. So I think it was the first Sunday in February. I think we had to delay it 1 week because of a snow storm that happened and we missed a week. So I think it was the first or second, I think it was the first week in February, that we did a vision update, kind of like a recap, kind of a just a releasing of vision. We always do a 21-day fast at the beginning of the year, and we're seeking God, we're praying, and our elder team, you know, spent some extra time, spent a whole day of just kind of discerning and praying, and then more conversation. And so we, coming out of that, we like to give just some direction. And so I did a message about building the house of God, about vision from moving forward. And it really wasn't a lot of new stuff because I released a very similar vision last year in 2020. 2020 vision, right? Come on now. 2020 vision. Released a message about vision for 2020 and beyond. And then everything got disrupted and everything was kind of crazy. And that, as we're kind of regrouping, coming back, just releasing that vision again. And I talked about the calling of our church body to be a local congregation, but also to be an apostolic hub, an apostolic resource, a regional resource in this area. And that has implications on what we do. That has implications on what we preach. That has implications on how we build, why we build. So we're an apostolic hub that includes a local congregation. That means there's a regional and beyond focus. That means it's God-focused. That means we want the Holy Spirit to be leading and building. That means that things aren't always focused on pastoral, but we want to marry it to the pastoral. So we're raising up pastoral teams. We just had a meeting a couple weeks ago with some, just an initial meeting with some pastoral team people and just getting that moving. So we really want to see a marriage and seeing the different expressions of the giftings that God has given us in the Word, the apostolic, the prophetic, the teaching, the evangelistic, the pastoral. We want to see those married together. And typically speaking, when you lead from a pastoral paradigm, it starts to exclude some of the others, like the prophetic or the evangelistic. But if you lead from an apostolic paradigm, you can make room for the others. I don't know if that makes sense. I know for some of you it might make sense, and some of you might be new language. So if that doesn't make sense, I encourage you to listen to some of these messages from before, where I unpack this a little bit more. But I released this vision and talked about four different areas of focus. Talked about our call to be a house of prayer. That first and foremost, we are called to be a house of prayer. We have prayer meetings going on. We have daily prayer meetings, different places, some of them here, some of them at homes. We're called to be a center for healing and restoration, for deliverance, to see healing released, to see deliverance released. That's why we do monthly deliverance services. That's why we raise up deliverance teams. That's why we have prayer ministry and healing ministry. We're called to be a base for equipping, a place where people can get equipped. We're called to be a place of sending, of launching, of birthing of ministries, of sending into missions or outreach in other areas. So we've talked about that. I just kind of recapping it. But there's a phrase that's been just kind of mulling over in me for a little while. And it comes out of Proverbs 29:18 from the King James Version. Most of you have probably heard this phrase, but the way that the Lord kind of tweaked it on me, I want to kind of bring this in. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." How many people have ever heard that statement? Most of you, many of you, right? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Here's how God kind of turned it on me one time. It was actually a while back, but he's been bringing it to me. Without a vision, the people perish. Without the people, the vision perishes. Without a vision, the people perish. But without the people, the vision perishes. In other words, people need vision. We need vision. We need direction. We need to be able to see. We need to be able to know what's happening and where we're going and why we're going there. People need vision. People need vision, but vision needs people. So where there's no vision or direction, the people cast off restraint is what other translations say. They just kind of all are going different directions and there's no clarity, right? But when there's no people, then the vision perishes. It's kind of like if you have a football team. You have the best coaches. You have the best coaches in the world. You have the best offensive coordinator. And he has vision for all these different plays. He has vision for trick plays or this kind of play. Or you have the best defensive coordinator. You have best all this stuff. But you don't have the right team members. You don't have enough. You don't have a quarterback that can actually do that trick play. What's the point of having the vision for this trick play or this type of play if you don't have the type of quarterback that can actually fulfill it? Right? Does that make sense? And so I was drawn to this story in Exodus. Exodus 35 is a great illustration of this. Because what I want to really get to is finding our place in the vision, finding our place in what God's doing. And I know this, again, is a little bit of a different type of teaching because it's more of a kind of a family meeting. It's more of an update. It's more of, and so if you're visiting with us or if you're kind of new here, I hope God's still going to speak and, or I can just put the microphone down. Yes, God. Wow. Is that the wind or something? Was that? Okay. Come on. Yeah, so I hope you'll be able to still glean something out of this. I know you will, because God's word is active. It's living. God will speak to you about your situation, even if it doesn't apply to this context, or you're not really connected here yet, or just you're just kind of visiting. But Exodus 35 is when Moses had a vision from God of building the tabernacle, the original temple or house of God. And it was an elaborate design. I mean, God gave him clear, specific instructions. He gave him ratios. He gave him just different types of materials he was supposed to use. Gold for this and bronze for that and silver for this and this type of material for this part of the tabernacle and this type of color for this. And, you know, you kind of weave in the cherubim into this curtain. It was a very elaborate vision. It was a very elaborate structure that he was going to be building because he wanted a house to dwell in. And so throughout the book of Exodus, there's times where Moses, he goes up on the mountain. He spends this time with God. God visits him and God speaks to him. But then when Moses comes down the mountain, he begins to release the vision to the people. He begins to tell them what God has said. He begins to tell them, this is what God wants us to build for a dwelling place. This is how God wants us to build it. Because Moses cannot build that by himself, right? So look what happens here. Exodus 35, we'll read it starting in verse 20. We're going to read several verses. I might jump around a little bit. But it says, all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. So Moses releases this vision, and then they kind of all begin to go their separate ways. But look what happens in verse 21. Everyone came whose heart was stirred. Everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart. And they brought earrings, nose rings, necklaces, jewelry of gold. They gave an offering of gold to the Lord. It goes on and talks about different types of materials and threads and scarlet and red skins and goat's hair. Oh, it just keeps going through this list. Verse 24, everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. Everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. Do you hear this pattern of their hearts being stirred? The Lord was stirring the hearts of people. The Lord was stirring the hearts of people. Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. I love these next verses. These are incredible. Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship. to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, cutting jewels for setting, carving wood, to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. He has put it in his heart, the ability to teach. In him and Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, I don't know if I said that right, of the tribe of Dan. Sound like a sneeze, Chad, right? He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker in blue, purple. Chapter 36, Bezalel, Aholiab, every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all the Lord has commanded. The next verse, again, it talks about these two, Bezalel, Aholiab, everyone whose heart was stirred. They received from Moses all the offering. I love what it says in verse 5. Chapter 36, verse 5, they spoke to Moses saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord has commanded us. The people brought more than enough, too much. And so Moses basically said, let's pause, stop, right? You can stop giving now. You can stop bringing your offering. You can stop bringing your gifts. Just real quick, I'm not preaching this sermon about, this is not going to lead up to an offering, by the way. We're not talking about money tonight, don't worry. Okay. Is that better? Just want to clear the air on that. Nothing wrong with preaching about money, nothing wrong with having offerings, et cetera. That's part of all that, et cetera, but that's not what this is about, okay? So Moses received the vision. Moses released the vision, communicated the vision. God stirred the hearts of the people. God stirred the hearts of the people. I love how it even talks about how Bezalel, Aholiab, they were filled with the Spirit of God to do craftsmanship, to do work of artistry, to design. God like handpicked his master builder, his general contractor. God had handpicked different people that he said, Moses, here's the vision, Moses, Aaron, the elder team, so to speak, and they released it. And now all these people, whoever's heart was stirred to get involved in building the tabernacle, in building God's house, because he could not accomplish it without the right people. He couldn't do the work, even though it was a vision from God. It was God's word. It was God's direction. He could not do it without the right people in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time. So I just want to give kind of a little overview of okay, where we've been, what it's been like, you know, this last year, kind of where we're at. Just again, kind of like a family meeting. Is that all right? Where here we are on the 1 year anniversary of 15 days to flatten the curve. Is the curve flattened yet, by the way? Whatever happened to that? I better get on. My wife's looking at me like, Jake, veer it in. But navigating through the time of COVID-19 and all the shutdowns and all that went on last year had to have been one of the most challenging times of leading. For myself, for our elder team, our staff. I mean, nobody can train you to prepare for that. Nobody could have told you that, Jake, you're gonna have to make a decision one day whether you guys should keep your church open or not, or whether you should have masks or not, or whether you should do this or that. Like, nobody could have prepared for the swirl that hit, for the storm. I kind of described it at one of our members' meetings. I kind of described it like this. It was like, you know, we started 2020. We released this fresh vision, Apostolic Hub, building the house of prayer. And I mean, there was such a great amount of unity. There was momentum. There was like, we were moving forward. I mean, I remember that time. And then it was like this big disruption. And I kind of likened it to when Jesus got into the boat with his disciples and they were going to be going over to the other side. And all of a sudden it said, this storm came out of nowhere, this squall. It just the wind started going, the boat started overflowing, the the waves were coming up, and just all of a sudden you forget about where you're going and you're just trying to survive. All of a sudden you don't even remember, why did I get in this boat? Where am I going? What direction am I headed? It's just, I don't want to die. I need to stay alive. And where's Jesus? Sleeping in the boat. Sleeping in the boat. Because he was at peace. Because he wasn't afraid of the storm. He knew where he was going. But the disciple, right, Jesus, don't you care? We're dying. We're not going to make it. Don't you care? We're perishing. And he silenced it, just like we sang about earlier. He silenced the storm. He silenced the waves. He rebuked it. And then they eventually got back on track to where they were going. And the minute they stepped onto the ground in Mark 5, what happens? The demonized man with a legion of demons comes running his way. And Jesus rebukes that legion of demons. He sets this man free. I'm telling you, on the other side of the storm, there's a new place of authority that God is going to, I believe, bringing even our church family into. There's a new realm even of deliverance. Here's the reality. Jesus cast out demons in the synagogue before he cast out demons in the tombs. There was a transition that happened. He was doing it in church first. Then he started doing it out in the tombs, out in the world, out in the dark places. But before he got to that other side, there was a storm that almost took them out, tried to take them out. And so that was kind of what it was like for me and for us as a team, just navigating through, trying to wade through the decisions, trying to decide what we're doing. And just, I remember when our elder team went from meeting 2 times a month to meeting 2 times a week. Because there were so many decisions and conversations and navigating just all kind of stuff that was going on. I remember the first time I ever heard my son say, "Dad, I wish you weren't a pastor." Whew, man, that was pretty hard. Just that was because the time, the one fire, I would literally set aside time and say, okay, tomorrow I'm done at work at 3 o'clock, and then I'm going to spend the rest of the day, unless there's an emergency, unless there's some sort of, and then there would be a legit emergency. Like, it was wild. But God works through those things. I'm not up here I'm not trying to complain we all went through various types of storms. I think it was Paul who said it this way: we're all in the same storm, but we're all in a different boat. You know, so it's kind of impacting people differently, depending on what you're doing, what some of your businesses, business leaders, schools, teaching, trying to figure out what you're going to do with your kids. Are they going into school? Are they not going into school? I mean, it was a wild time. And so as we began to navigate through, as we began to make decisions about how we were going to approach and how we were going to do this as a church body, you know, we lost access to our building instantly because we were meeting at a school. And then we weren't able to meet here at that point yet. And so, you know, June is when we were able to start meeting here. So we started doing prayer meetings in May. I remember opening up my house for a Sunday night prayer meeting on May 8th, Mother's Day. And I prepared my kids that there's a good chance the police might show up. We just didn't know because we weren't supposed to have gatherings at that point. It was really interesting because that was the same day that the Lancaster County Commissioner put out word and said, prosecute any businesses or any people that violate the COVID-19 orders. The same day, I was like, that's awesome. So we opened up our house. We probably had 50 people in our home. We worshiped. We prayed. We started having prayer meetings throughout the week. And then in June, we started meeting here. And we were just doing the best we knew how to navigate through, to make decisions, to honor the Lord, to hear his voice. We knew there's so many strong opinions this way, that way, you know, how to approach it. And that was just the approach we believe God was leading us to take. And so we opened up in June, having Sunday nights here, worship and prayer nights. We started preaching again a month later. We never had any type of guidelines. We encouraged people to do what they believe was best. We encouraged people that, we provide online streaming for people that weren't comfortable meeting yet, for people that would like to wear masks. They're very, more than welcome to wear masks. People that don't want to wear masks, you don't have to wear masks. That was the approach that we believed we were supposed to take. And so over the course of the next year, so as I look at this congregation today, compared to if I looked at it a year ago today, there's close to the same number of people seating in the room. And there is a large percentage of people that are very different. If you were not at Threshold a year ago today, would you raise your hand? Look at that. Look at that. So the number of people just about stayed the same. It was very similar. But who the people are is very different. And what we began to see as time went on and as we were beginning to rebuild and we were beginning to relaunch, we didn't know what to expect and who was going to stay and who was going to go. And we ended up losing a lot of people for various reasons. Some of it was because, just to be frank, yeah, sometimes people were upset about our choice to gather when we gathered and to meet the way we met. There was definitely some, disagreement on that. And that's perfectly fine. But there was people that felt like they couldn't come, or people that felt like maybe for health reasons or their job situation, they couldn't risk being here because their job situation. There were so many reasons. Some people moved geographically. Some people, the time change was hard. We moved from 10 in the morning to 5 o'clock. And so what I realized is that, through the course of this process, it really has taken a toll on some specific, especially the staff and the elder team, because the staff and the elder team was there, but a lot of people had scattered or moved on or gone somewhere else. And we bless, we release, we never try to control anybody. We want people to do what they believe God's calling them to do. So we, again, no hard feelings about anybody that had moved on or that couldn't come back for a while. Absolutely. But the effect it had as we were trying to rebuild, I realized that this concept really applied. So we had 2020, we started with a vision and people, and then disruption, storm, kind of some scattering, some trying to figure it out, trying to navigate through, a lot of people moving on, a lot of new people coming in. Who are we? Who is Threshold? Like, who am I? I tell you what, every pastor I talked to would say the same thing. I don't know who my congregation is anymore. That's what pastors would tell me. It was like, I don't even know who is part of my church, who's not part of my church. And again, it's just the nature of the way it was. I totally get it. But the effect that it had when you're trying to rebuild. So for instance, we start to relaunch and you start to build, you start to have kids ministry, right? So on a typical Sunday, we might need 15 or 16 volunteers. Is that right, Helen? 16, maybe volunteers to do a kids ministry. And we try to space that out. Like, we don't want people to be serving every single week because we don't want them to burn out. So there used to be probably 60 people on the kids volunteer roster. There used to be a core team of 7 or 8 people, the core team that was all working closely with Helen, where all of them but 2 didn't stay. So the burden that fell on Helen, the burden that fell on the just people as we're trying to rebuild. I'm just saying this just to be transparent and just to be open about what it's been like. This is, please do not hear anything of guilt or pressure or shame. Please, please, please. Does this make sense what I'm saying? So the volunteer, base and, looking at different ministries, like, well, how do I lead the worship department, when I don't, this people or this, who is the worship department? Or, do we have a prayer intercessory team anymore? I don't know. We used to have 12 or 13 people, but I don't know, are they still here? Are they not? And just, it's taken a toll, but I believe that we're now in the time where the vision is still clear. The vision is the same as what it was, but we've added, we're continuing to make progress in that vision. The right vision plus the right people equals divine fulfillment. And I believe that's where we are moving into. The right vision with the right people in the right place at the right time is going to be a fulfillment of the purposes and the plans that God has. And so there'd be times where, you know, in our staff meetings, we'd be asking, like, well, how do we get more people to, you know, serve in this? Or how do we get more volunteers to be in the kids' ministry? Or how do we, you know, we reach out to people, we do that. And I've had this stirring in my heart just to release this message. And just like for Moses, to trust that God is stirring the hearts of the people to be in the places where they're meant to be. We are not ever going to strong arm people to try to get them to serve in places just out of guilt. We're going to release vision. And we'll communicate, hey, like, there's some needs, right? But I have full confidence, because if this is God's vision, then there are God's people for the vision. If this is God's house, then God has the right people to be in the right place in the house. God will build his house. We are committed that he is building the house, not me, not our elder team, not our staff. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. That's why we always put prayer first. That's all why always we're focused on intercession and prayer. There was this passage in Ephesians 4. We often will quote verse 11 and 12 because it talks about, some people call it a fivefold ministry. But then sometimes we don't finish and continue reading what it results in. It says, he himself, this is Ephesians 4, verse 11 and onward. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Did you notice the progression that passage goes on? It starts talking about these ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It says that the role is to equip, to empower, to impart, to disciple, to release, for the works of service, for the work of ministry, that the body of Christ might be edified. That means built up. That means strengthening of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Do we have some work to do on that one? In the body of Christ? I think we do. The knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. We no longer be children tossed to and fro. In other words, see maturity, rootedness, strengthening, protection from deception, growing up in all things into Jesus, who is the head. But notice how it ends. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part of the body is contributing something, right? That's what it's saying. It's saying that your joints, they're supplying something to the rest of your body. Your heart, your stomach, your lungs, every part, your nervous system, your immune system, your lungs, your brain, right? Every part of the body is contributing something to the whole, that if you took away one of those parts, it would impact the entire body. It would affect the entire body. And so he's saying, as every part is doing its part, as every joint is supplying what it has, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. So I want to, in casting vision forward for our church body, I also want to cast vision for contributing, for serving, for being involved. Not just out of filling a slot, not just out of duty, not just out of obligation. Do we understand what we're doing when we are serving in the body of Christ? Do we actually understand what we're doing? We need to change our mindset about how we approach this. You're not just filling a slot as a teacher in the kids ministry. You are sowing into the next generation of people that will change the world. You are sowing into the future of the body of Christ. You're not just teaching because we need a babysitter. You're not just in the nursery to keep kids from getting out of trouble. You're praying over those kids. You're pouring into them. You're literally sowing into the next generation of the body of Christ. Do not just see it as, oh, I gotta fill my time. I gotta do this. Don't think of it that way. So we gotta change the way we think about vision for serving. Is that Philip over there on the camera? Hey, Philip. See, there's two ways Phil can think about what he's doing right now on the camera. Phil, thanks for serving today. Let's give Phil a round of applause. Come on, Phil. He can think of it in two ways. One way, I'm manning the camera, praise God. I'm manning the camera. I'm filling the slot. I'm filling a need. Or I am facilitating encounters with God for people who cannot make it to the service tonight. I'm facilitating an encounter with God. Do you know that we get testimonies of people who encounter God through the live stream? Do you know that people have been delivered from demons watching the live stream? No joke, literally. But been delivered from demons. What if Phil wasn't sitting up there? We've had people that have encountered God that couldn't make it to our services, but as they're worshiping God, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they have an encounter with God and they're worshiping Him. Do you see the difference of how we can think about that? People that are serving on the ministry, the worship team, you're not just playing an instrument. You're ministering to the living God, and you're ushering God's people into His presence, into His glory. You're not just pushing buttons on a keyboard or singing in a microphone. You're ministering before the Lord and helping the people, the congregation, to fix our eyes on Him. See, it's so easy to minimize it and say, well, I'm on this team, I do that. You know, those who are on the greeting team, a hospitality team, you're not filling a slot. You're pastoring. You're facilitating connection. You're connecting with people that might not ever have a connection. You're providing hospitality. You're opening your heart. You're engaging with people that might not have had a hug for a long time. It might need a hug. Prayer leaders, you're not just leading a prayer meeting. You are building the house of God, literally. My house should be called a house of prayer. You might have two or three people coming to your prayer meeting. You're building the house of God. You're standing in the gap. You're interceding for the people and for the nation and for whatever areas you're in. This is so critical. This is so critical. See, when Moses released the vision, the people saw what they were doing. They were building a house for God to dwell in. They weren't just sewing garments together. They weren't just using their hands to build a nice carpentry. They weren't just craftsmen in an ordinary sense. No, they were literally building a house to be a dwelling place of the living God on the earth. and that changed how you view it. How about our usher team? Where's our usher team? Let's give our usher team a round of applause. Come on, look at Chad back there. You're not just ushing. Is that a word? You're providing a sense of order, security, safety, peace in this place for everybody else that's here that maybe has no idea what you're doing behind the scenes so people can encounter God without distraction, without other hindrances. It can go on and on, these different areas. So I want, again, part two, vision. I want to begin to cast vision, and I want you to, now that we're a year through everything and we're on this other side, and listen, I don't know what the future holds, but I know that we are standing firm, and I know what God has called us to build, and I know that He is going to build His house. Whatever might happen in our society, in our world. And so I want to give a charge to everybody, to the people of God, those that are here, those that are watching, those that are going to hear this later, to ask God, Lord, where are you stirring my heart to contribute? Where are you stirring my heart? What are you putting on my heart to do? What skills have you anointed me with? What ways have you built me, created me, gifted me to be able to contribute to what God's doing? And if you're just here attending tonight and you're at another church, ask God where for that church. I'm not trying to get everyone to do things at Threshold. But for those that call Threshold home, for those that are here, for those that are plugged in and planted here and committed, I ask you to pray that. Ask God to show you, where are you stirring my heart to pour into? We always want, as best as we can, for people to be filling roles that are according to their gifting, their passion, how God's wired you. So over the next, you know, several weeks, and every once in a while, maybe once a week or every couple of weeks, we're going to be actually sharing more about, hey, here's an area where we, you know, here's some needs, or here's an area where we could have some more people serving in, right? I know, for, you know, kids ministry is one of those areas where we'd love to have more people that have a heart to sow into the next generation, have a heart to say, I want to instruct and teach and pour into and disciple these young ones because we love them, we care about them, we value them. We're not babysitting. We're leading them into encounters with God. We're teaching them the word. We're teaching them the gospel. So over the next several weeks, we're going to be having just maybe a 5-minute announcement or a share, or somebody sharing. We're not going to take the whole service every week and talk about this, but we're going to be bringing it back just to keep it in front of people, because I know that God's vision will have God's people. And I believe we're now moving into that time with the right vision, with the right people for this time, for this place that God has ordained. We're going to hear in a couple minutes, we're going to share one of those tonight. Chad's going to share. But before we do that, I just wanted to have just kind of a prayer response. I hope this is all right, just to do a little more of a family meeting, a little bit, hopefully I was just trying to be transparent and share where things are at. I want to honor our staff right now. Can we honor our staff? If you're a staff person, can you stand up? Come on, can we honor them? Come on. Yeah, these we have some incredible people that put blood, sweat, and tears into serving. I want us to pray for just a minute or two. I want to just take 5 minutes or so and just pray. I want to ask the Lord to speak to hearts. And just as it said in that verse, it says, the congregation, you know, they left from Moses. I'm not trying to say I'm Moses, by the way. Sorry, I'm not using this as an analogy. But so the congregation, they left from Moses and all the ones whose hearts God stirred began to contribute in this area, in that area. So Father, right now, I ask for the Spirit of the living God, Lord, to confirm in the hearts of your people, to speak to the hearts of people. God, what it is that you are calling each individual to do, God, whether that's here within the context of Threshold Church, for those that might be visiting or listening to this later in their own church body, Lord, I pray, God, for a stirring of our hearts, God, a stirring of our hearts, God, that you would speak to your people, Lord. You would speak to each one, God. Father, for what it is you are calling us to do. God, I ask that just like you anointed specific people, Lord. God, you anointed Bezalel, Aholiab, Lord. You gave them wisdom. You gave them the anointing of your Spirit to fulfill different roles. Father, I ask, God. I ask, Lord, for the right people in every role, God, as you build your house, God. Lord, I ask you to stir the hearts, God. I just want us to take like 3 or 4 minutes to just be quiet before the Lord. I don't know if there's a way we could just put a little bit of music in, like just soft worship type music in the background. And I just want us to just to be still before the Lord and just reflect, pray, listen, allow the Lord to speak. If there's something he's speaking, maybe he's already been speaking as I've been sharing. Father, I pray over every person here, over those watching. Lord, I ask just even for a washing by your Spirit. God, even from the effects of this past year. God, even just from the effects of walking through and navigating and confusion and decisions and hardships and trials, Lord. And Father, I pray right now just a washing, a cleansing in the name of Jesus. thank you, God. God, I thank you for your people, Lord. I thank you for every person, Lord. Thank you, Father. God, I pray that not one person here would leave feeling any sense of shame from this or guilt, but would feel a heart stirring in areas, Lord, that you would be speaking in, Lord, that you would be moving, that you would lead, that you would guide, that you would build. I thank you, God, for the vision and for the people and for the bringing together, God, of what you're doing in this time, God. That you will build your house, God, a house for your glory, a house for your kingdom, a house, God, of freedom, a house of deliverance, a house of prayer, God, a house of your presence. And I thank you that you're calling every person that you have called, Lord, and stirred, Lord, to fill every area, Lord. So I just thank you. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. I'm gonna have, Anna wanted to share something real quick that the Lord just kind of put in her heart to kind of add to it. And then I'm going to have Chad share about a specific, just one specific area.
Yeah, I just felt this, like, I want to acknowledge the elephant in the room for some of us that have small children, that it can be very challenging to know how to navigate a whole evening service. And so I want to just acknowledge that, and that can be very, very challenging. And what I want to first challenge you with is that if you're a parent who spends most of the time wrangling your child, that is worship to the Lord. Your time here with your child, that chasing up and down the hallway, I've run more sprints down this hallway than I can even tell you, that is your worship before the Lord. So don't let the enemy tell you, what is the point of being here? Why am I even here? What am I even doing? This is hard. This is frustrating. I shouldn't even come. Because you are worshiping the Lord as you serve your child and as you care for your child. So I just need to say that. Secondly, I want you to hear, obviously, yes, if the Lord is putting something on your heart, an area to serve, then do that. But if you're in a season where you're like, I don't know. I can't imagine how I could make that happen. That's okay. We understand seasons. Also, I want to encourage you, husbands and wives, create space for your spouse to serve in areas of gifting. There is not much more that is life-giving to somebody than being able to pour out in areas where the Lord has given gifts and given grace. And so husbands and wives, talk. Position yourselves to be able to support each other in being able to serve in those areas, if at all possible. You know, husbands, you chase a child down the hallway so your wife can sing, or so your wife can serve in kids ministry, or so your wife can intercede, okay? And just know that when you're chasing your child or wrestling your child or whatever you may be doing with your child, you can always be interceding. Okay, so if you cannot join in any other area, you can be part of the intercessory team that covers this service the entire time it's happening. And that is incredibly, incredibly important, like massively important. And so do not opt out. Do not sideline yourself because of the season you're in. Ask the Lord what the season looks like for you in exactly the place that you are in. And know that those little things that may feel like they don't matter are also worship unto the Lord.
Awesome. Thanks, Anna. Yeah. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Chad Marriott.
Thank you. Okay, so I just want to communicate a couple of areas where is an opportunity to serve. And part of the season of moving into this building actually was one of the blessings of moving here is that we got to retire our setup team. That was awesome. So, yeah. So, we're really thankful. And also moving here has actually presented some other opportunities, which I do need help. So I just want to explain what those are and wonder if you could be a part of that. That'd be awesome if you could help us out here. So I'll start with the obvious, the worship team. We've actually been getting some new recruits in this last year, so it's really great. So just to let you know, we are open to people to apply to be in the worship team. If you're a singer or you play an instrument, then please do apply. Now, I just need to highlight this one first, just because we consider it a part of leadership to be in the worship team. And because of that, we actually require for you to be a member, so in order to be considered in the worship team. So I thought I'd just highlight that first, because maybe you do want to get involved, and I could do with drummers, bass players, any electric guitar players in the room? We need electric guitar players, man. God loves to rock out. Anyway, but yeah, seriously, if you do have something, that a gifting that you'd like to get involved in that, then please do consider that. And if you're not a member yet, then let's just talk about it, and maybe that's, you could sign up for the next Discover group. And again, connecting. And part of the worship team isn't just to fulfill a function. It's not just to be like, well, have I got a full band? It's great when we do have full bands and that kind of stuff. But the part of the worship team is an active part of the church and community. You're actually going to get to know different people. You're going to learn how each other function. So as well as the spiritual gifts and developing where you're at spiritually and using your gifts for the Lord to serve him and minister to him and enable his presence in the room. Does that make sense? So yeah, that's the worship team. That'd be great if you could join us. That'd be awesome. The other area is the technical stuff. Now, this is, since moving into this building and through the whole COVID thing, we adopted a lot of equipment that Living Hope have here, and we've actually been able to now start streaming meetings, and that's been a new thing for us. But that is really, really important. As Jake said, we're now doing deliverance services as well as Sunday services. And there are other events and things that we really, not everybody can make in person. So having a couple of people on a camera and a streaming operator, someone who can just be online, just checking what's going on, setting up the equipment that's up there and just logging in and making sure it's up and running, is really, really important for us now, for the people on the other side of the screen. So in order to make all that happen, we've already said hi to Phil, who, by the way, has served the last 3 weeks. So thank you, Phil. He needs a break. So yeah, come on, Phil, get that round of applause. So if you have eyes, an arm, and a bottom, then you can be a camera operator. Because seriously, if you are here and if you do have the availability that, hey, instead of sitting in that seat listening to the message, you could maybe just sit in that seat and follow the person around. That'd be really, really helpful. So that would be to serve on a Sunday evening or other events. Sometimes we've got our monthly deliverance service every fourth Wednesday. So again, if that's something you feel you could do, it's pretty simple. Point and follow, and there we go. That's the first thing. The other area back there, if you just look at these lovely, good-looking people over in the corner who are currently not listening to me and chatting, I have over here some guys. Now, there's audio. There's Pro Presenter, which is the system we use to put words on the screen. And in the corner is our streaming operator. That's like I've just described, just using the equipment to make sure that the stuff is streaming out on the internet. So there are three areas there. So if you're interested in learning any of these, you don't have to be an expert in them. I've been learning them. If you're just interested and you're technically minded, I really do need help, because nearly every week I'm scrambling. I'm setting up the stream, getting it going, making sure that's in there. Then I rush up on here, lead worship, go back, do some other stuff. So I do need help in this area. So if you're able to, during the services, maybe be up there and we'll show you how to use stuff. It's not very scary. It's pretty simple. But if you're good at pushing buttons, good at point and click, and you can read, and, you know, we'll give you the songs in advance and you can just follow along where we're up in the screen. And it's point and click, and then you will get to lead, have worship and have words on the screen, and it's wonderful and it helps the flow. It's really great. So, camera operator, somebody doing words on Pro Presenter, and if you're technically minded and you want to learn how to do the stream, that's where I need help. And last of all is audio. We kind of lost a couple of guys in the transition, and so we have a wonderful, there's Tony at the back. Give a round of applause for Tony. And I don't know, is Wes here? Wes is here tonight or not? Probably is Wes here tonight. Anyway, there's actually a member of Living Hope who's actually been doing sound for us as well. So he's been really, really generous in that. So again, it's an area. I do need help in these areas. Again, just to say, we'll train you. We'll show you how to use stuff. It's something, maybe something new you want to learn. So don't be put off or scared by it being something that's a bit of an unknown. But if you're interested and you're available, these are the areas that I could really do with some help. So I have here a sign-up sheet for
And I'm going to go at the back of that corner booth. So if you're interested in any of these areas, in worship, the camera, the stream, running the words, or learning about audio, come and see me over there. I'll be over at the corner over there. And then you can actually have a look quick to see what equipment we've got and actually see how easy it is to operate. So but that's where I'll be.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Chad.
That's great.
Awesome. All right. Yeah, so, hey, as we dismiss here in just a couple minutes, just encourage you. If the Lord's stirring your heart, if there's a certain area where you're like, you know what, I really feel drawn to this, or I just want to serve in a way, I want to get involved more, you can do one of two things. One is you can go on our website. On our website, threshold-church.com, there's a tab under the Connect tab. It says Serving Opportunities, and it just kind of has a whole list of different areas and the ways to connect with the people that are involved in that. Or you can always just email info@threshold-church.com. You could reach out that way. Or if you know who the person is that is the director of that area, you can reach out to them. So keep those things in mind. And yeah, we're excited about this year. We're excited about what God's building. There's so many just amazing testimonies and ways that God's moving and ways that God's leading. And as more and more people are getting put in the different places, the wall was being established. There's those spots on the gaps are being filled. And so, let me just do a closing prayer. Why don't we stand to our feet? And then we'll dismiss and feel free to continue to connect and get to know people. And if you want to go see Chad, he'll be back there. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your direction. Thank you for your vision for our lives as individuals, as families, as a church family. Thank you, God. We just commit all this to you, God. I pray that your spirit would do the work in each of our hearts, God, wherever it is that you're leading us. Stir the hearts of your people, Father. Establish your house, God. And in this season, Lord, let your people rise up. Let your people arise. Let your people shine. God, let your people show your glory in the earth. God, I thank you, Lord, for your spirit moving and your kingdom advancing in Jesus' name. I pray blessing over each one, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Awesome. Let's give the Lord one clap of praise. It's always good to praise the Lord.
All right.
For more information about Threshold Church, visit the website at threshold-church.com.